In awful confusion, Phoebe uttered a farewell speech so hopelessly disjointed as to bring a smile of unholy appreciation into the eyes of Sylvester, patiently holding the door. She ventured to peep at him for one anxious moment as she went towards him. It was a very fleeting glance, but enough to reassure her on one point. He did not look at all distracted. He was perhaps a little pale, but so far from bearing the appearance of one cast into despair, he was looking remarkably cheerful, even confident. Miss Marlowe, assimilating this with mixed feelings, walked primly past him, her gaze lowered. He shut the door and said with perfect calm, "It was most kind in you to have given my mother the pleasure of making your acquaintance, Miss Marlowe."
"I was very much honoured to receive her invitation, sir," she replied with even greater calm.
"Will you do me the honour of granting me the opportunity to speak with you for a few minutes before you go away?" Her calm instantly deserted her.
It is, I assure you, quite unnecessary, Duke, for you to make me any explanation of anything," she said.
"You can't think how relieved I am to hear you say so," he replied, guiding her across the hall into the library and closing the door.
"Pray, sir, what is it you wish to say to me?"
"Just, my darling," said Sylvester, taking her into his arms. It was quite useless to struggle, and probably undignified. Besides, it was a well-known maxim that maniacs must be humoured. So Miss Marlowe humoured this dangerous lunatic, putting her arm round his neck, and even going so far as to return his embrace. She then leaned her cheek against his shoulder and said,
"Oh, Sylvester, oh, Sylvester,"
which appeared to give great satisfaction.
"Sparrow, Sparrow," said Sylvester, holding her still more tightly. "I can't marry you after writing that book," she said, softening the blow, however, by clinging rather closer.
"You not only can, but must, if I have to drag you to the altar. How else, pray, is my character to be re-established?" She considered this, and was suddenly struck by an inspiration. She raised her head and said,
"Sylvester, I know the very thing to do. I will write a sequel to The Lost Heir, and make Ugolino become quite steeped in infamy and end up by perishing on the scaffold."
"Good God! Sparrow, you are, without exception, the most incorrigible little wretch that ever drew breath. No."
"But then everyone would know he couldn't be you," she pointed out. "Particularly if I dedicated it to you, which I could do with perfect propriety, you know, if I were just to subscribe myself the author."
"Now that is a splendid thought," he said. "One of those pompous epistles with my name and style set out in large print at the head, followed by my Lord Duke, and then by several pages interlarded with a great many your graces and such encomiums as may occur to you, and..."
"None would occur to me. I should have to rack my brain for weeks to think of anything to say of you, except that you are odiously arrogant and..."
"No, no," he said hastily, taking her in his arms again. He then, with great presence of mind, put a stop to any further recriminations by kissing her. And his indignant betrothed, apparently feeling that he was too deeply sunk in depravity to be reclaimable, abandoned, for the time being at all events, any further attempt to bring him to a sense of his iniquity.